Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta features 426 guest rooms, 16,000 square feet of meeting and event space, several dining options, including art bar, a gastro pub serving locally inspired fare and cocktails, along with an indoor-outdoor swimming pool and patio, 11 landscaped acres of walking trails, and a convenient location to all the attractions located north of Atlanta. Visit www.sonesta.com/Gwinnett Place to learn more about what we have to offer for your next getaway, meeting, or event.
Tom, we need more HP toner.
I'll get right on it, Maria. Now, I could go to the big box office supply company where I'm just a number, but I love dealing with Ferritech, the company that supplies our HP toner, printers, and service. They know how to treat their customers. They're an authorized HP vendor. They locally manufacture their own toner cartridges, and it's recycled.
Tom!
Uh-oh, what now?
Ferritech, a customer-obsessed HP retailer. Visit Ferritech.com.
Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios in Atlanta, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio, spotlighting business leaders in our area. Gwinnett Business Radio is brought to you by Ferritech. Ferritech, great people, remarkable service.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Gwinnett Business Radio from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studio here in the beautiful Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta Hotel. I'm Mike, alongside Stephen. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. We've done this for so long now, we don't even have to give our last names anymore.
That's right. What's up? I'm Stephen. That's Mike. Let's hit it.
Yo, what's up?
Word up.
Hey, we've got some great guests in the studio.
We keep that up
today.
We're not going to have a show for very long. Yeah. I just want to say that. Well,
people are tuning out already. And the guests are like, what have they gotten themselves into?
Yeah, let's get them back in and talk to the guests because that's the important part.
The show became a comedy skit. It just wasn't funny. That was the problem.
It was not funny.
We've got a couple companies, actually three companies we're going to highlight today. Darcy McNamara is here from Priority One POS. Bob Ferris from Commodore Corporate. And Cecil Powell from the firm Answer.
And the cool part is two of those companies really go together. And so they're both here doing kind of one interview together.
They go hand in hand.
Hand in hand. Like, much like Mike and Steven.
Yeah. Aww. It's amazing now. We finish each other's.
We're like BFFs, Mike.
Sentences.
Yes. Quickly, go to the interview because people are leaving the show.
Darcy, get back in here.
Yeah, okay.
Our first guest, Darcy McNamara, Priority One POS. Good morning.
Good morning.
What is Priority One POS? POS? For those that don't know, point of sale.
Correct.
But talk about what your company does.
Well, what we do is we provide point of sale solutions to the hospitality industry, but we also put the merchant processing in there as well so that we're a one-stop shop for a lot of the restaurants, bars. Even we do a lot of retail and B2B customers as well that might not necessarily need a full-on POS system, but they need a virtual terminal solution as well.
Okay, and when we're talking virtual terminal and POS, we're talking about a way to accept credit cards, accept payments for services or goods.
Correct.
And as well, point of sale is also, I want to put in the order, I want to communicate with the kitchen, things like that.
You got it.
Okay.
Exactly.
So when you say point of sale, I think everybody does think of that restaurant and the bar first.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a point of sale concept in retail and some of the other side businesses that those people wouldn't necessarily think of? Talk about that.
Okay. For the retail side, there's a whole different clientele because their situation is made up a little bit differently. But we provide solutions for both the restaurants and the retail solutions.
Nice.
The makeup is a little bit different. So we have different providers that we work with. With the hospitality industry, we work with a lot of Selling Future POS, which is very popular, been featured on Bar Rescue lots of times. So it's very familiar. A lot of people know their name. And then we also work with Paradise POS and Kildar on the retail side as well.
And I guess one of the questions I was trying to ask there, and I didn't do a very good job of it, is on the retail side and point of sale, are there retailers out there that don't realize how much a point of sale could help them and they're not using it? Or
exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. A lot of businesses, they know what their best selling item is, but they might not know what their least selling item is, or they might not know. A lot of the POS systems are so complex. There's apps that they can have in there that will tell them, hey, what's going on in the community? What's the weather going to be like? Is there a festival in town? Is something going on that would impact their business that can also help them with their scheduling of their employees, as well as knowing, hey, do we need to open up the patio because we're going to have an influx of people at a certain time? Fireworks going off for the holidays, something like that.
Yeah.
So we really help people not only understand their business, but understand how the area or the community can impact their business.
Let's talk about the technology side and where it's at right now and where it's going. And I don't want to get people messed up with all these acronyms, but EMV, what does that stand for?
Euro Visa MasterCard, and it's the chip cards. And okay. It started over in Europe years ago. And the U.S., of course, is the last one to jump on the bandwagon.
Right.
And we have kind of really prolonged that whole process just because we have so many more issuers that issue the chip cards than the other countries do. So as they're getting those out, most people today now have a chip card, but they haven't gotten to the point where that chip card is now associated with a PIN number. So over the next year, you're going to see where those transactions, when you use that card, it's never going to leave your possession. Where now, if you're at a restaurant or something and you're paying, you're giving your waitress a lot of times your credit card and she's walking away with it.
Right.
So it's going to get to the point where you're going to pay right at your table and you're going to have a PIN number associated. Very similar to like a debit card, but it's going to increase the security with those cards and eliminate a lot of the fraud that we have running rampant in America these days.
You mentioned us catching up with Europe. And one thing I never understood is not just that, but I remember years ago, and I'm in London for the Olympics years ago covering that, and I'm at a restaurant and they took we paid at the table. They had the mobile mm-hmm. system there and they ran, the credit card never left my sight, which
right.
is a security thing. And it's like, why are we not like that in the States? And I guess the question is, you know, why are we behind Europe?
Because it just costs so much to produce those cards. And we have so many issuing banks that will provide those cards that they've just slowed it down and just the technology hasn't been there.
Infrastructure and buy-in, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you got to create the infrastructure and then you got to have buy-in from most of the processors, because now we're still at some places will insert and some places, no, we're not ready for that yet. You still got to slide.
Exactly. Not right? all the processors have gone through the certification process to have all of their terminals certified to do that as well.
How much of your business and what your job is selling, and how much of it is educating return on investment and what you can bring to the table, and you talked about the apps
yeah.
and things like that.
It a lot of times we go in more as a consultant because
yeah.
a business will have a general question and then they'll just start getting all so much more information out of you. The questions will just start flowing and then they'll end up coming to you for everything.
And you said that obviously you guys do point of sale. And then with that, especially in the restaurant, you do merchant processing as well. And I think merchant processing kind of has a reputation, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but has a reputation of very transactional, very commoditized, and very just give me the price and move on. You know,
exactly.
Sign here, sign here, sign here. And so to bring a consultative approach has got to separate you from a lot of competition.
It does. It does. And because we're not just selling the hardware and the software or just selling the merchant processing, we are more of a all-in-one solution for businesses. So if you own a business and your system's not working, you're not, do I call the hardware? Do I call Future POS? Or do I call my processor to figure out the problem? No, you call Priority One POS, and we will solve the problem, whether it's software, hardware, or merchant processing. And that's what a lot of our customers like. Like, they like that support, especially in the hospitality industry. At 2 a.m., they're just wanting to get out of there. So they want to make that one phone call, and they want to speak with somebody that speaks English, that they can understand at 2 o'clock in the morning, that is going to help them and get them closed.
And that not only separates you from your competition, there's not a lot of other people who have that much of the spectrum covered. Am I fair in saying that?
No, you're correct. Okay. A lot of people just do one or the other.
Right, right. I just do merchant processing. Or better yet, I'm just the software behind, you know.
So, right.
So to be that main liaison and point of contact is natural for you guys to be in the consultative position. All right, I'm sold. I don't know.
One down, one to go.
Go out and buy a restaurant now.
I'll take care of that first, then I'll come back.
One of the questions I'm sure you get all the time is if I'm a restaurant owner and or you know any kind of a merchant and I need a POS system, a point of sale system, if someone comes into my store, we do a credit card transaction, how long does it take before that transaction is in my bank account? Because I'm sure the people, they want to see their money pretty quickly.
Yeah, and we do 24-hour funding,
okay.
So that's great. I mean, a lot of times for the bars and restaurants, they're not closing out until 2 a.m., so they obviously aren't getting the next day funding, but because of the time that they're closing out. But yeah, that's key for a lot of businesses. They want that next day funding.
Right. Okay, so you go out, you're an account manager, so you go out, I'm sure you get new business for Priority One POS.
Correct.
What are some of the mistakes that you see a lot of merchants out there making?
What you kind of hit on it is they're looking just at the price. Like they want the cheapest price. And you don't know how many restaurants will open up. They've picked the cheapest POS system. It may be a plug and play, which is a terminology where it just comes in a box. Oh, it'll be easy for you. You'll just set it up. And then you'll call in and they'll be like, well, we have a YouTube video on how to do that. There's no one-on-one training. We actually put feet on the street. So we actually send people into the business, usually the day before they open, and get everybody trained. And then we're there a second day while they go live and are there to answer their questions and help them and walk them through the system. So that's not, oh, you need to call up. I mean, it's your opening day. You do not want to be messing with a POS system that you don't understand. So we're really holding their hand through the whole process, whether we're helping them build their menu and we're assisting them with that. But we also have a relationship with US Foods. So US Foods refers a lot of their customers also to us. And so being that we have that relationship, we have a very high level of service that we have to adhere to have that relationship with US Foods. So a lot of times that helps us as well.
You touched on something that people might have just missed it. You mentioned helping out with their menu.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you talk about that. That's something you don't get from a typical POS service.
Yeah, no.
You actually will help them lay it out, print it out, all that stuff.
Yep. Usually they just have to get us a copy of their menu, what kind of beers and wines they're going to be selling, and we'll help them lay it out. And that's usually like a week-long process where we're going back and forth with them, dealing with also their bartenders or once they get their staff on, like how they want it laid out.
And when you're talking about laying out, you mean on the system?
Correct. Okay. On the dashboard of the system.
What are some of the mistakes that a restaurant who goes somewhere else and they're trying to do it through a YouTube video, what are some of the mistakes in layout that someone can make?
Well, a lot of times with the future POS system, we have the modifiers all on one page. So if you're wanting to get a hamburger and you want it well done,
right,
with pepper jack cheese, no onion, tomato, so you can just click all on one screen.
One screen, right. Instead of, oh, I got to go to this screen.
Yeah, okay, how do I want it cooked?
Right.
That screen, give you the option. Okay, now what kind of cheese? Okay, so it's just faster and much easier for the wait staff.
I like it.
And then if somebody says, oh, wait, I want to change it. I want it medium rare. They're not having to delete that whole item. They're just going into that area and changing it.
And I was going to say, you know, Mike asked the question of what mistakes do people, you know, what mistakes are people making? I was going to ask, you did I think it was one of the first answers. You kind of talked about the scope of the things beyond just laying out your menu. And so I was going to just ask you to kind of circle back around to that. You know, what are some of the ways that people are not getting the most out of their current POS system, or that the people who aren't using you guys and not getting the training, what are they missing out on?
Because it's a little bit overwhelming when they first get the system, because if it's a plug and play, they're going to take it out of the box and they might not like the way the menu is and they don't know. Like I met with a boutique yesterday. They just didn't even know how to put in their inventory. Every time they get new inventory in for the retail side, they're putting it into their main inventory and it's wanting to print all of their labels for anything they've ever put in their system. They weren't taught how to do a separate purchase order that's only going to print those new items for them. So it's just a matter of they're not training. So she's like, it takes me 2 to 3 hours to print out my tickets every time I get new inventory. It should never be
right,
like that.
Right. And that's where boots on the ground, you guys coming in and helping and the consultative and training.
Exactly. And, wow. Exactly. And we were able to show her that. And she was like, well, that's more work than what I'm doing now. But then when we showed her at the end how it just prints the tickets, and she was like, oh, but now you're saving me 2 or 3 hours on the back end.
Right.
We're talking with Darcy McNamara with Priority One POS here on North Fulton. Wrong studio. Gwinnett Business Radio X.
Wrong.
See what happens when you work in two different studios? It happens every once in a while.
Wrong.
There we go. Thank you, Donald. What do you say to that person? Well, first of all, before I go to that question, what's the size and scope of the places you work with? I assume whether they take hundreds of dollars worth of transactions or $1 million worth of transactions, you can work with the company?
We can. We work with a lot of franchise owners that have multiple locations. We'll start out with somebody that just has one location, and then as they grow, we'll move into it. So we really don't have any limits. Okay. Like Chili's, the big chains, you like that?
She is making me hungry this morning.
Those are not probably our forte, but yeah, we have a good reputation for, especially in the Georgia market, where we are local, we give great service, and we have a lot of the landmarks in Atlanta.
What do you say to the business owner or restaurant owner or retailer, whatever the case may be, that says, well, I'll get that little online thing, the thing that I can plug into my phone, just swipe a card there. I mean, does that work for some people? Maybe, or is that, okay, gosh, she's turning different colors now. I brought up wrong.
Yeah.
What do you tell that person says, well, I'll just use that?
Yeah. You know, it's usually for somebody that's just starting out and they're going to take like just one or two transactions a month. But I just talked to a heating and air conditioning company yesterday and they were using that company and got shut down. So busiest time. We're super hot and humid right now, and they're not able to take payments right now. And they have no idea why they were shut down, because you just call, you know, send an email. There's nobody that you can call. So we were able to get them set up with somebody that will still allow them to take the payments off their phone or tablet, but be able to take the chips. So they can dip the chips as well when they're in person. And
get the chips and burgers. Yeah, and she was even talking about financial matters and she's making us hungry.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I was going to ask this, obviously, depending on what they want and what they need, there's a wide range of prices here. But I would imagine that, again, going back to the education thing, part of your job is to, so let's use Mike's question about, you know, the thing I stick on the end of my phone and, oh, now I can take payments. Part of your job is to just kind of explain different cost of being down and just how you're going to pay something somewhere to someone in order to take payments. Right.
So it's really it's cost just kinda, of doing business.
Yeah. It's educating. What are you getting for the cost of doing business? Because I am sure you are not the least expensive out there, but I am also getting very sure that you are the most valuable person out there.
Yeah. We try to, go right in the middle. We're not the most expensive, but we're not the cheapest either. So we like to walk the middle of the road. And to be honest with you, a lot of times we get our customers from pain. They've had some sort of pain with a different processor or a different POS system, and they've hit that point where they've had enough.
Right.
And a lot of times we've gone in there and they've chosen a cheaper option. And 4 months down the road, they're like, yeah, I'm ready to chuck this stuff. When can you get your stuff in here?
Yeah, I like it.
All right, the healer of pain, Darcy McNamara. Darcy, for those companies that would like to look into your services and maybe they're not happy with their POS system or their merchant system, how can they find out more about your company and reach out to you?
They can go to our website, which is www.priority1pos.com, or they can call us or call me directly at 678-358-7720.
And you're right here, local company.
I am. Yep. Can meet with them in person.
In person. All right. Darcy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Darcy McNamara, Priority One POS, here on Gwinnett Business Radio.
Well done, Mike. You're back on track. And speaking of another local company, we just wanted to remind people that Gwinnett Business Radio is brought to you by Ferratech. Ferratech has been in business for 25 years by manufacturing top-of-the-line toner supplies, and they offer outstanding customer service. Ferratech offers a 100% guarantee on all Ferratech products, so you know they stand behind their quality. For more information, visit ferratech.com. That's ferratech.com.
You just reading that made me hungry. I don't know why.
Well, come on. You're not going to eat toner supplies, are you?
No.
Boy, you really are hungry.
I am.
I just want to go back to that. I want to go back to that hamburger with pepper jack cheese and then dipping the chips. That's enough.
That was very
ready
tasty.
For lunch.
All right, our next guest here on the program from Commodore Corporate, Bob Ferris, and also joining us is Cecil Powell with a company called The Firm Answer, and we're going to interview you guys together because you guys are kind of intertwined. Bob and Cecil, welcome to the program. Tell us about your companies, Commodore Corporate and The Firm Answer, and what you guys do.
Well, Commodore Corporate is my company. I'm Bob. The Commodore comes from my homage to Vanderbilt University.
Ah. So, oh, interesting.
My attorney one day said to me, we need to call you something. And so...
That's a very open-ended question, Bob. I hope you... Apparently, you had a good relationship with your attorney.
So he came back with that answer.
Yeah, exactly. Commodore Corporate, so. If I said that, or I said that to somebody, they would be very different answers.
So I entered this world of business finance by orchestrating a rather large leverage buyout, a spinoff of a public company. several hundred million dollars. That was my very first foray into this world. And so what I bring to the table and work with Cecil is I've had more experience with private equity and some larger transactions in my day. And then I found myself in the Carolinas, and it's a different kind of market. And Atlanta is a much more vibrant market. And so I spend probably 60, 70% of my time now in the Atlanta market.
Okay. So you help businesses find money.
Find money.
So they can invest it in their business or whatever they need to buy out somebody, whatever they want to do.
To acquire, to do a leverage management buyout. If they're just growing beyond their financing needs.
Okay.
They're growing so fast. Classic, I ran into a guy, he's trying to pass out a private memorandum to raise several million dollars and from strangers. And I said, you know, you're going to run out of friends and family to keep kicking this to. And so then we bring in Cecil and Bob, and we solve his problem. He said, my business is growing. I'm getting orders in, but I can't afford to buy the raw materials to make the product for the next order till I get the other one built.
Right.
So the business was growing beyond his ability. And so that was central casting.
I like the tagline, bring in Cecil and Bob, and we'll solve your problems. So Cecil, talk a little bit about your firm, The Firm Answer, and what you do, what you bring to the table.
Well, The Firm Answer came from my late father-in-law, who managed 15 corporations and 5 trusts at one time. And we were fishing when I was still in the Air Force in Florida. He wanted me to come to work for him. And I thought, well, if I do that, I'm going to be called a slob. That's a son-in-law of the boss. And if I do well, they'll say you gave it to me. And if I don't do well, he's going to say, well, you wasn't worth much anyhow. This is family radio, isn't it?
Yeah. Whatever you want to make it.
But anyhow, so I asked him, I said, out of all this stuff that you manage, what's your biggest problem? And he said, he thought about it, and he said, I wish the hell the bank would give me a firm answer. He said, I'll have one of these bank accounts in all these different banks, and I'll go to one bank, and I want to do a new housing development. And he said, they'll waltz me around, keep asking me stuff for 3 or 4 months, when in 2 weeks they know they're not going to do it. But they don't want to tell me that quickly, because if they do, I may pull an account. So if they just give me the answer, even if it's no, then I can move on. So I wish they'd give me a firm answer. Well, time went around and this, that, and the other, and eventually I went to work for Barclays Bank and different organizations. Came back and decided I was going to have my own company after I'd been in the computer software business. So I decided I'd go back to this, and I decided I'd call it The Firm Answer. So what do? We get to know quickly. Or if we get to yes, that's wonderful, but at least we get an answer, because the bank doesn't mind telling me no. And of course, you do realize why we're in business. We're in business because the same guy that writes the advertising for the bank ain't the same guy that makes the loan. The other way to look at it is to know what a banker is. Having been one, I can say it with all truthfulness. A banker is a man who will loan you all the money you need. It's like he'd give you an umbrella, and he'll let you keep that umbrella as long as you want to, until it starts raining. Then he wants it back. So that's why we're here.
I like that. That's a good answer. That's a firm answer.
That's
right?
A firm answer.
I like that.
So that's what we do, is we get to the firm answer. Our market is a niche. We have a niche market. We're between $250,000 and $8 million is the money we find. It may be equity. It may be debt. It may be a hybrid vehicle of some sort. We try to help match the type of funds to the needs of the company. Now, why that niche?
You notice he's asking his own questions, too.
Yeah,
you're making our job really easy, by the way. So this is great.
I was going to say, you may well ask.
It's firm questions as well as firm answers.
Yeah. Okay. If you have the friends and family and angel investors, that will invest up to $250,000. There's a lot of them. After you get past $250,000, say going toward $500,000, there are not too many guys that put up, guys or gals, that put up $500,000. The next bunch that you get to that want to put money in your startup company or in your company that wants to merge with someone else or your company that wants to buy another company or a company like Bob was talking about that wants to grow faster than your bank wants them to, okay, is around $8 million where the venture capitalists and the big boys get in, insurance companies, that sort of thing. So there's a gap in there, and that's where we operate. And there are not too many folks in there that are in that gap, particularly in the Carolinas and Georgia, some in New York, California. And we are what you call a finder of funds. We're not investment bankers. That's not what we do. Investment bankers are ones that effect the sale with an E. We affect the sale with an A. And there's big difference between the words.
Now, Bob, you're located here in the metro area, correct?
I'm in the Carolinas.
Oh, you are in the Carolinas. Okay.
I'm in the metro area 70% of the time.
Okay, so you are affecting finding clients in the metro area.
That's correct.
But you guys are both located. Now, and I was going to ask, you guys have a location in the Carolinas. Most of your business is kind of in this southeastern region.
It's coming out of this market, largely.
But it's not exclusive.
It's coming out of opportunities that we find.
Okay.
There's more networking platforms available.
Right. But it's not, you guys certainly aren't exclusive to this area if there's businesses
listening. We're working with a company out of Tampa.
Yeah.
And
okay. So there's good opportunity there. And I'd like to ask a little bit more detail on kind of the finder of funds. So you guys, does that mean that there is no situation where the two of you or your companies would be providing the funds? You are strictly finding other means of the funds. And then when you get into that with a business owner, there comes a point where you guys hand them off. And they now have a relationship with the person that's either gotten equity or debt or some kind of hybrid, correct?
That's exactly right.
Ooh, hey, I got it exactly right, Mike.
Sorry. I was impressed.
Almost.
Oh, almost.
Oh,
dang it.
I feel better now.
Right, go ahead. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Well, you're not wrong, but you didn't go far enough.
Tell me why I'm not complete. All right, go ahead.
That's another issue for another day.
Oh, like Cecil.
We do financing, not domestic counseling.
Cecil, you keep talking like this. Mike's going to have you be the co-host, and I'm going to be out of a job. But go ahead.
What are you worried about me? I'm more worried about your wife right now. She might be listening. What are their problems, honey?
Okay. All right. We interrupted Cecil twice now. Go ahead.
I think we did. Anyhow, all right. What we do is help them find funds. Now, what that means is, if they need to do something that they can't find the funds somewhere else, we are not, like I said, we're not investment bankers. If we were investment bankers, we would take and do what's called a teaser or write-up, and we'd send it out to 400 of our favorite friends, and we'd hope somebody got interested. That's what we call a shotgun approach. We use what we call a rifle approach. We have a stable of investors. I don't think that our investors would mind being called horses, would they?
That's your issue.
Depends what part of the horse you're talking about.
Studs.
Okay. Thoroughbreds. There you go.
All right, thoroughbreds. All right. But anyhow, and they, what they do is they have their own niches that they like, their spaces, they call it, something that they know something about. So if you have guys that like high tech, then we won't take them a service industry. There's no point in doing that. That's why we do the rifle shot. We find a few investors that are interested, and we may have an 800-pound gorilla, or we may have three 300-pound, but we don't do something like crowdfunding, and we don't have small investors, ours or ones that are in, and they have the funds to be in with you, and we always find out how much the company is going to need down the road in 3 years, and we want to make sure that the investors that we put them with have the wherewithal to carry them.
All right. This question is for Bob. And Bob, when you talk about, you know, you talk about helping these businesses out, typically what stage of a business, you know, when it's, they start up or they're more involved, you gave it a description of one earlier that was just growing so fast. Is that typically where you are involved with these companies at that point of their growth?
Typically, we look for companies that are in revenue and have a need of at least $1 million, but they need to be in revenue. We do work with startups. The one in Tampa is actually a startup that Cecil happens to knew, he happened to know exactly where to take it, and somebody's taking a hard look at it. But typically, we need somebody that's in revenue and just outgrowing themselves.
How do you find these companies, or do they find you?
It's most every business is word of mouth. But again, Atlanta provides so many unique networking platforms that you just keep showing up.
And Cecil, I'm going to go back to something you said in one of your answers. You kind of talked about it, made it sound like a lot of the businesses you guys work with have already been looking elsewhere. And you talked about under 250,000, you can usually find a family friend or you know someone like that. You guys aren't necessarily the first place people look, but you might be the best place people look. Is that fair to say?
It is. What we like to do is do this. If you think of it as marketing, from a marketing standpoint, what we're going to do is market your company, okay? And if you were to think of it as if you were in the marketing business and you had an old product, that's something everybody knows, and you've got old customers, that's ones that you've already got, okay? You have to sell them an old customer, an old product. Going to cost you something, but it's not as much, okay? Right. Maybe 25 cents to get a dollar in revenue back. However, if you have a new customer, but it's an old product, everybody knows it, you can sell them, but it's going to cost you a little more to get that first dollar revenue in that first year. It might be 65 cents. Likewise, if you go the other way, where you have a new product, but you got these old customers, so they know you and your company, and you want to bring out a new line, then you can probably sell them. It's going to cost you a little more than it would be to sell an old product to an old customer, but they know you, so it's going to cost you something to get a dollar revenue. Okay, so there may be 65 cents for that, but if you've got a new product and a new customer, and you're going to try to convince the new guys that this new product is wonderful, it's going to cost you some marketing bucks. What, dollar and a quarter to get a dollar's worth of revenue to get started in that first year? Like Bob was talking about, the guy trying to raise $100 million from people he doesn't know. Okay. So what we do, if you think about it, we've already got the old customers thinking of your company as the product. And when we have the old customers, that's our stable of investors. And all we've got is we've got a new product, which is that new company that we've taken on as a client, and we're selling it to them. So the cost to the company is the 65 cents. Whereas what the company has been doing, they're trying to go out and raise money from people they don't know on their new company. They're in the $1.25. So that's why we say it behooves them to consider us. And we want them to have tried to do that and try to sell it to someone else. Then they find out how wonderful it is to try to have to do that and why they need us to help them do it.
All right. So for those companies that think they want to use your services or look into your services, and this is for either one of you, for the firm answer or for Commodore Corporate, what ducks do they need to have in a row? What do they need to have done before they really can come to you, and what that makes them a good candidate for you to actually want to do business with?
They need to be a viable business. They need to have their bookkeeping in order, need to be able to show their history. You can't just take somebody that's working on the fly out of their home. That they need to be viable, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. yeah, they can't be, it can't all be on an idea. I got this great idea.
Yeah. We don't fund science projects. If you're in
or the, sales pitches, right?
If you're in the grant business, okay, and you need to get a grant from whoever, government or whoever,
that's a different
somebody foundation. That's yeah. wonderful, and yeah. we'll tell you where
right.
where you might find that. But we're not gonna pick up on that. You need to be into revenue. You don't have to be profitable, but you got to be into revenue.
And typically, is there a time frame there that you know if you've not been in business showing revenue for at least 3 years, we don't really work with you, or is there usually a time frame, or if they're within revenue, you know, pretty quickly in 12 months, and they're doing well.
The answer is the longer they've been in business, the more that we'd be able to raise toward the debt situation, which is less expensive than right. equity. Equity is the most expensive money in the long run, okay? The newer you are, the more you tend to need the equity. They don't necessarily have to have the 3 years. Some of them had been in business 3 years, but they've got something that makes sense and they're into revenue, which if they're into revenue, that has proved the point. Okay. They have proof that their product, service, et cetera, is going to work. Then that makes them more viable.
All right. Bob Ferris with Commodore Corporate and Cecil Powell with the firm Answer, our guests here on Gwinnett Business Radio. Anything else that we need to touch upon before we wrap things up regarding Commodore Corporate, Bob?
No, I believe we've covered it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Cecil, anything?
I hope you're going to ask us how to get a hold of
it. I am, but I wanted to do that
last. That's the last question.
That's going to be the last one. So, okay. Well, let me do that then. For those companies that have been listening, say, you know what? I want to have a conversation with one or two of those gentlemen. How can they reach out? How can they find out more about your companies?
The firm Answer is located in Greenville, South Carolina. Our telephone number is 864-569-5175. And the website is www.thefirm.com.
We're based here, Business Radio X in Atlanta. You're up there in Greenville. Obviously, people are listening worldwide all over the country. Can you work with anybody within the country, within the nation?
The answer is yes. We don't actually market outside of the region, but we have had clients from Colorado, New York, California.
And Bob, Commodore Corporate?
CommodoreCorporate.com. It's that easy.
I like that.
And if you don't know how to spell Commodore, go check out Vanderbilt and you'll learn how to spell it, right?
It'll be right there in front of you in big letters.
There you go.
If they're a Mississippi State fan, Auburn,
I'll
Alabama.
I'll still talk to them.
Okay, yeah. Just want to be clear about that.
I'll still talk.
Will they talk to you? That's the thing. Yeah,
well, that's their issue, not his.
Cecil's right? A rambling wreck and I talk to him, so.
Let Cecil do the talking.
That's right.
All right. Cecil Powell with the firm Answer. Bob Ferris with Commodore Corporate. Thanks for coming in and sharing all the great work you guys do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I want to thank Bob and Cecil for joining us. Also want to thank Darcy McNamara with Priority One POS for joining us here on the program.
And that program, Mike, just to remind you one more time, is Gwinnett Business Radio. And
I'm well aware of that.
The reason you know that is because we are in the Subaru of Gwinnett studios. Subaru of Gwinnett has been a fantastic sponsor of ours for a long time. People who have been listening to our show have probably memorized the read that I give almost every week. So I'm going to change it up a little bit and tell everybody to go to SubaruofGwinnett.com and check out their website. And even if you're on your phone, you can see reviews about the Subaru Forester, the Subaru Crosstrek, the Subaru BRZ. You hear about their different awards. And also there's some fantastic articles on the website you can pull up on any device, how to extend the lifetime of your vehicle. And since we're in summer, they put up a new article, lesser known national parks that are worth the trip. And you can take that trip in your Subaru. Isn't that great? I mean, that's very... very smart, very good, you know, just good information to check out.
And a shout out to the service folks at Subaru of Gwinnett because I had to get my car serviced last week and in and out and did a great job. And
it was a fantastic experience.
It was a wonder. It was love.
It was love. It's what makes a Subaru.
Exactly. All right. Thanks to, of course, you, Stephen, as well, and to Trey, our producer. Again, a reminder, you can listen to this show anytime you want, 24-7, by going to GwinnettBusinessRadioX.com. Check us out on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and all that good stuff as well. We'll see you next time, right?
And I'm going to get a burger and chips and dip.
It sounds good. Can I go with you?
Yeah, absolutely. You're always welcome. And Trey can come too.
All right.
Once again, our guests can come too.
What's that?
Our guests can come.
Our guests can come. Yeah. Darcy's going to come.
Yeah.
She's going to make sure they're using her point of sale service.
They better.
They better.
We'll be looking for it. And if they're not, we're like, we got somebody you need to talk to.
Exactly. Thanks to our listeners as well and all our sponsors of the program. We'll see you next time. And a quick reminder that before we go, Trey always wants to remind you
to be the man. You got to beat the man. Woo!